Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
D-Base, Vin Gindonic, 1025, 1063 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Vanderbilt is in action tonight at Memorial Gym against the number one team in the land, the Auburn Tigers. 6 o'clock tip-off. Pregame starts at 5:30 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to preview this matchup, Tim Thompson, Vanderbilt men's basketball analyst. Tim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Auburn coming off a loss over the weekend at home to Florida, 90-81. It was Auburn's second loss of the season, first in conference play. Now, I understand that the two teams that have beaten Auburn are in a different weight class than Vanderbilt, that being Florida and Duke. But as you analyze Auburn, Tim, and think about ways that Vanderbilt could try to upset them, are there elements of the games you saw against Florida and Duke that maybe are replicable for Vanderbilt as they look to take advantage here?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at a team like Auburn and, you know, they get beat at home against Florida and they still retain their number one ranking. So their body of work is, you know, unbelievable. I think in this new net ranking era, that kind of thing, you know, they're a team that is really veteran laden. They got two guys on the team that I think are close to being older than Luka Doncic at 25 years old. So, you know, and then you know, you've got Janiah Broome, who probably could be the SEC player of the year. You know, he's a guy that, you know, can score inside. He's a pretty good defensive player. He can shoot the three. You know, Vanderbilt's got their hands cut or their hands full tonight, just because I just think that, you know, the veteran leadership that Auburn has and the fact that they get beat at home, they're going to be coming in here loaded for bear. And, you know, if Vanderbilt's going to win this basketball game, they're going to have to shoot the basketball from the perimeter. Tyler Nichols is going to have to step up again and knock down shots. You know, you're going to have to get some help inside. Jalen Carey had a great game against Texas, 18 points, 14 rebounds last Saturday. You're going to have to get, you know, some points and rebounds on the inside. And then you're going to have another guy step up. You know, Edwards is a guy that is going to get you, you know, 17, 18 points a game. He might have to step up and get close to 25 tonight in order for Vanderbilt to win this basketball game.
I was reading a story on CBS Sports about how Vanderbilt has turned things around in Mark Byington's first year, of course, which you know firsthand. And I love this quote from Byington in the story. The author writes, "Nowhere is Byington's loathing of labels more evident than with the Commodores roster, which includes 18 players listed as point guards." Byington said, "It's a little bit of sarcasm, but at the same time, when you're a basketball player, you're a basketball player. We play as modern basketball as anybody, and it's not just to be modern. I think it's the right way to play, and I think it fits." Can you expand on that and what that modern basketball looks like and how it's helped Vanderbilt get to this point? Did we lose Tim?
Yeah, I think we lost Tim.
Man,
can you hear me?
Yes, there you go.
Hi, Tim's back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you back.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we got you, Tim.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened here. Hold on just a second. There we go. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it was an interesting comment. I think, you know, and Willie, you've been around enough. You know, everybody wants to be a point guard. And I think his comment more than anything is that he wants playmakers. And it doesn't make any difference what position you play, whether you're a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what position you play. If you're a playmaker, that's all he's asking. And, you know, you look at what Jalen Carey did the other day. I mean, he's a five guy, a four guy, but he's a playmaker. And that's what Coach Byington wants. The way that he spreads his offense out and creates great spacing, I think is the way kids want to play. And, you know, he turned this roster over completely in 6 weeks when he first took the job. I mean, to be honest with you, over the last 5 years, Vanderbilt was probably playing with a lot of mid-major players, because if you look at the players that have left Vanderbilt and where they're playing or not playing now, I mean, it's really obvious the dramatic difference in talent level from last year to this year. And, you know, we've got 5 wins in the league. I think that, you know, it, being 12-1 pre-conference, if we get to 8 wins in the SEC, I think you get an NCAA bid.
We'll talk with Tim Thompson, Vanderbilt's men's basketball analyst. Now, Tim, looking at this game, obviously Auburn's a tall team. They're long, and they can play small ball. But when you look at Vanderbilt, especially at the guard position, how critical is it going to be for guys like Jason Edwards and A.J. Hogarth? Edwards has been averaging close to 20 points over the last five games, and shooting close to, I think, 40% from three-point range, and he only has 7 turnovers in that span. But how critical is it going to be for that guard play? Because Hogarth started off slow the last game, but then he picked it up and helped with the win. But how important is it going to be for them?
Well, I think you make a great point, Derek. It's those two guys, you know, with Edwards' offense, Hogarth's leadership. If you look at Hogarth, you're right. He started out 0-for-11 in the first half, and then he made some plays down the stretch where he penetrated, made his free throws. He had 6 assists. He's got to step it up and be better than 4-for-15 tonight. He's got to shoot in that 50% range, in my opinion. He's got to create off the dribble. The one thing about AJ, he's a big, strong kid. He can get downhill. When he gets you on his hip, now all of a sudden he becomes a different player, because he's got a nice little floater and he can finish at the rim. But I think for sure Hogarth and Edwards have to step up. I think you've got to get some play from MJ Collins as well. He did a great job on Trey Johnson from Texas defensively. If you can get some offense out of MJ Collins, and then I think, you know, you've got Tyler Tanner, who's not shot the ball great, but, you know, if he comes in and can give you a little bit of defense and a little bit of offense, now all of a sudden those four guards, they become difference makers to make Vanderbilt a different team when you get some scoring out of them.
Now, Willie and I were talking about this, I think it may have been last week, about how well Vanderbilt plays defense in the lanes with their hands. I saw it on display, and it seems like this team, for whatever reason, even though they're not big, they play great defense when you're talking about passing lanes and everything else like that. What do you contribute that to?
Well, I think it's part of Byington's system. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start talking about gap defense, help defense, I think they're really good about gap defense, where if a guy gets beat off the dribble from the perimeter, you know, you've got a teammate helping you. And a guy like Grant Huffman, Hogarth, Edwards, they're quick hands. You know, a guy brings the basketball down below his shoulders going into the lane, it's going to get stripped. That's just the way they play basketball. I think it's a tribute to Coach Byington. You know, we're not a big team. You look at McLaughlin and you look at Carey, and there are 5 guys, and they're really 5 guys playing out of position. They're really 4 men is what they are. And I think we've done a great job, you know, in what we've done so far with, you know, a couple of our big guys playing out of position. But the one thing that offers is a little bit of quickness compared to a guy maybe that's 6'10", 6'11", that they're guarding. Now all of a sudden you got quicker hands and that kind of thing. And then, and you create steals off that 5 position as well.
Tim Thompson is with us. It'll be Tim, along with our buddy Kevin Ingram, on the call tonight. 6 o'clock is the start. Vanderbilt against #1 Auburn. Tim, one thing I've really been impressed with is now that you can kind of get over to the side of the court when you're coaching at Memorial, I see Byington a lot, almost directing traffic. They've got such an intricate offense. It seems like he can find the matchups he's looking for pretty well with this team. And on a different night, it could be a different guy that has the best matchup. It was Hogard, as Derek was saying, late in the game that seemed to be the guy that had a good matchup. He made a couple big buckets. Other times it's been Edwards. Other times it's Carey. But I feel like they can recognize it. I'm just worried about tonight. Auburn doesn't have too many bad matchups out there. They've got so many different weapons. But I do think he does a great job of finding the best way to go about it on offense.
And Willie, you're spot on that. I mean, you really, if you look at, you know, a guy like Tyler Nickel, you know, he had 17 points against Texas. And he got those 17 points off of exactly what you're talking about. Byington recognizing, you know, Nickel's 6'7", and all of a sudden he's got a 6'3", 6'4 guy playing him. And now, you know, he runs him off screens. He gets a wide open three, that kind of thing. I think that's the one thing Coach Byington does a great job of. And, you know, I really hadn't even thought about, you know, the sideline opportunities for coaches now. I mean, back when you and I played, Willie, they couldn't get out of the coach's box, so they basically had to stay in the, you know, in the end zone, basically, to coach. Now, you know, they've gotten the ability to almost go all the way to half court. And, you know, the officials really aren't going to call anything. So now you have some of that stuff where, you know, a coach coaching on the sideline, recognizing some of those matchups. But again, to your point, you know, you look at Auburn and, you know, they're a tough matchup. You've got, you know, Baker Mazzara, who's a kid that can guard probably 1 through 4, you know, Broom can guard 4 and 5. You know, a guy like Dylan Cardwell can come in and he can guard 4 and 5. And then I think Denver Jones is one of the guys that is kind of an unsung hero. He's really good defensively. So, you know, Auburn's a tough match. I mean, we're talking about Vanderbilt. They're a tough match for anyone. And, you know, based on what the SEC has right now, and depending on how a friend of mine, we were talking this morning, if Alabama, Auburn, and Florida are all in different brackets, you might be able to see those three teams in the Final Four. That's how good this league is, and that's how good those three teams are.
I was going to follow up with that, Tim, because I think this Vanderbilt team is really fun to watch. They play with great energy, but they happen to be in a league, and you've watched this league for a long, long time. There have been some great years in the SEC, but do you think this is the deepest that the league has ever been? I saw Lunardi, he had 3 1-seeds and 2 2-seeds from the league just the other day.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, all the years that I've been watching it, I think this is the deepest. I mean, if you look at, you know, the records, if you go to the SEC and look at the standings and, you know, you see it, you know, a team like South Carolina had won a game, but they're a solid team. I mean, it's amazing the depth. And, you know, LSU and Ole Miss played the other day and LSU gave that game away. You know, they had Ole Miss on the ropes. And, you know, I think potentially this league could get 13 teams in the tournament, which I'm not sure if that's ever been done before. You know, one conference has 13 teams in the dance. You know, you look at Vanderbilt's schedule right now. You got Auburn at home, and then Saturday you go to Tennessee, and then next Wednesday you go to Kentucky, and then you come home, and I think we play Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's right.
I mean, It's brutal. There's just no, what I would say, lightweights that you're going to be able to roll in somewhere and think, oh, I automatically, you know, since I'm playing at home, I'm automatically going to win. That's out the window. You better come to play every game or you're going to be in a tough situation down the stretch.
By the way, just to interject, Willie, the record for most bids by one conference in a single NCAA tournament is the Big East in 2011. 11
right.
teams.
And did the Big East have 16 teams that year in the league? I guess they did, but
they
I'm
did,
not sure.
11 of 16.
Of course, the SEC has 16. For years, they only had 10
yes,
and then
the
12.
Big East had 16.
Tim and I can remember playing in a SEC that had 10 teams. We're getting older. We're getting removed from that now, right, Tim? But
that's right.
But I just would love to get your perspective on the energy that you see from Mark Byington. They've opened up the new offices and facilities right next door to Memorial, which is still, I think, I'm biased, but as good as any top 10 venue. If you have it in the right atmosphere, I'm hoping that that's there tonight. But he's got that energy that I think is infectious. The team plays that way. So I'm just curious your thoughts of his fit with Vanderbilt, with where they are in the big picture, trying to rebound from, as you kind of pointed out, it's been a down period for the last 6-8 years.
Yeah, Willie, I worked for Nike for 25 years, and I've been in college sports marketing, and I've been to so many venues, practice facilities over those 25 years, and I walked in the Huber Center a little over a week ago, and I looked around, and I was like, I've never been in one this nice. And people ask me, what do you mean? Vanderbilt's got that nice? I'm telling you, it is off the charts, beyond anything what you would expect. I don't know if you've been in there.
I haven't yet.
But it's beautiful. And, you know, you have a coach like Coach Byington who's come in, who, to your point, has a lot of energy. And I've always said, you know, if you're going to be a college coach, you have to have a college mentality. And when you get out of bed in the morning and both feet hit the floor, you're thinking about high school recruiting. You're thinking about portal. You're thinking about NIL. And that's what we have now, is a guy and his staff that's what they think about. And, you know, I know for a fact that they probably have a list of portal kids that at the end of the season, they'll be doing their due diligence on, you know, looking at kids from other conferences and, you know, other divisions and that kind of thing. I just think now that they're winning, you also see the energy at Memorial Gym. I mean, I thought the Texas crowd was great. The, you know, Tennessee, Kentucky, they both bring their share of fans, but I still thought those crowds were very good. The way we played, we took their fans out of the game. But that Texas game, it was 99% Vanderbilt fans, and I thought the energy and the, you know, the electricity was kind of back to the old Memorial magic a little bit. But I love Coach Byington and the energy that he has.
Tim Thompson, Vanderbilt men's basketball analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. Tim, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
You can tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game tonight. Vanderbilt hosts Auburn at Memorial Gym, a 6 o'clock tip-off, pregame show at 5:30.
Hey, I wonder if Tim, because I believe there will be a storming of the court, I do, but I wonder,
just wait 60 seconds.
Yeah, I wonder if Tim, the guy that's going to count down the clock, like turn it on right there.
That'd be a good job for Tim.
Exactly.
Excuse me for a minute, Kevin. Let me get on the – I have my big stopwatch here.
Derek, exactly. By the way, has his
something
check,
you'd see like at a swim meet,
out?
You know, get the big clock and count it down. I wonder if they have that.
Derek has his checkbook out on the
yes.
desk. Are you about to write a $500,000 check?
Oh, hell no. A $5 check to the fund, yes.
You know,
that's
you know,
what Willie
bucks,
do.
Maybe. You
that's
know what is Willie great about do. This? Oh, don't look my way. I'll be looking the other way. You look at me. No, you must be looking over here. But this is going to be special tonight. And I really hope. I'm going to go to the game. I hope that the atmosphere is what it should be when number one comes to town. I've watched it through the years a few times. Before I got to Vanderbilt, this was one of the things that kind of enticed me about Memorial Gym when I came on my visit. A year or two before, they had beaten, you'll like this, Adam, North Carolina.
Oh,
they were
good,
number one.
Always a good time.
A J.R. Reed North Carolina team. A Jeff Lebo North Carolina team. Really good team. Beat them. My senior year, which when I didn't play, I was keeping stats. I focused only on baseball, but it was my guys, the guys that I played with. They beat a Rick Pitino Kentucky team that was number one. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, it's still, you know, we're getting older. It doesn't seem that long ago for young people. It's like, oh, I don't remember those teams. I think it was 08. It was the defending national champion Florida team. Mm-hmm. That had the same guys back and ended up winning it again. They were number one with Noah and
Al Horford.
Al Horford and Green, Sidney Green's son. Yeah. They had a great team. It was a great team. Vanderbilt beat them. They stormed the court. Shane Foster was on that team. It's a special thing. And I remember what Kevin Stallings said. And I was there one night where they beat a Bruce Pearl, a Tennessee team that was number one. I think it was right around that same time. So number ones have fallen at Memorial Gym a few times. But it's such a great opportunity. You could go your whole college career as a player and never play number one. So when you have number one coming into your building, it's a great opportunity. That was the motivational speech by Kevin Stallings. I remember he said, he told his team, you may not ever get this chance. What are you going to do with the opportunity to play number one? So there's nothing to lose, right? There's no reason to be nervous or anything. Just go in and take your shot.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie is playing air keyboard. I feel like...
A little Miss Gaga? Lady Gaga? Lady Gaga, front and center in the Grammys and at the Super Bowl.
She was doing a press tour with Bradley Cooper when that movie came out where they sing.
A Star is Born?
Yes. And they had a placard for her at the press table, and it said L. Gaga. I always thought that was very funny. L. Gaga. Just to make sure.
So if you call for a reservation at the restaurant.
Gaga. Gaga.
What number should I put this in? Gaga? Can I put this under a name? Yes, Gaga. Gaga. First name, man. L.
No one will ever know.
Oh, my goodness. I think would think you were playing. Like, okay.
Back to Vanderbilt for a moment. Vanderbilt and Auburn tonight at 6 o'clock. Tip-off at 6. Pre-game starts at 5:30 right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Fifth top 10 opponent for Vanderbilt this season. They are 2-2 in those matchups. They beat Tennessee. They beat Kentucky at Memorial Gym. I don't know if you guys knew this. Did you know that we have a resident bracketologist in our midst? One Joe Rexroad is now the bracketologist for The Athletic. Have you noticed this?
He is the bracketologist?
Oh, wow.
Yes, he does the NCAA tournament bracket projections.
Oh, good job.
They've had other guys contribute too, but that's great. That's awesome for Joe.
So where he has Vanderbilt, because we're about a month away from Selection Sunday. And basically every projection I see of Vanderbilt, they're in the same place. They're a 10th seed. I see them as a 10th seed in every projection. Get a load of this matchup. I wonder how a certain someone behind the glass would feel about this. A 7-10 matchup in Milwaukee in the West region. Number 7, Memphis. Number 10, Vanderbilt.
Hmm.
Go Tigers, go.
Very interesting.
I don't really like it when teams from the same conference end up playing each other in the tournament. Like, it's inevitable at times, but like I always like when there are like regional matchups, quote unquote, against teams from the same state that are in different conferences. So Memphis and Vanderbilt would meet that criteria for me. But I feel like Vanderbilt is in the tournament for a lot of people who are paid to do this.
Not if they lose out.
No, of course not.
So that's why I'm reticent to say, hey, they're going to be in. I definitely don't worry about matchups at this point. I realize it's for show and for discussion.
I'm a sucker for these things, right. I'll admit.
I think the pathway is 3 more wins. I think you would feel really good even if you didn't win a game in the SEC tournament. If you got 3 more wins in your conference games, because no matter how you slice it, you won't have any bad losses in there, and you will have 3 wins that look pretty good. I think that will do it.
Vanderbilt, by the way, has the 3rd strongest remaining strength of schedule in the country.
Well, that's why I say,
yes.
When
Alabama
you sit there
first,
and they go, you're in. Like, have you looked at who they're playing? Like,
Alabama first, Houston second.
Right. You can't look at any of the games on their schedule and say, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. They will have to earn 3 wins or more. Can they do it? Absolutely they can do it. But stuff happens, and you can play really well and lose. They could play a great game tonight and fall short just because Auburn is so good. I thought they played, and we had Coach Byington on last week, the night after they lost to Florida. He said, we played pretty well, and they did. There was a stretch where the kid came off the bench for Florida that hadn't played all year long.
And he was hitting them, boy.
2 unbelievably long threes. They hit everything. Florida was just too good on that night. That's going to happen probably a couple of times in this last stretch. You hope, though, that you have a couple of nights, and this would be a night where you've got to have some things go your way. You have to hope that maybe Auburn is a little down 3-point percentage-wise from where they are during the season. They're a really good shooting team. And that's one thing about a Bruce Pearl team that I think he does a really good job of. And the first guy that comes to mind, and shoot, I can't remember his name. Some early Bruce Pearl teams. His first name is Chris, I think. The point is, he gives his shooters the green light. Mm-hmm. You will see some Auburn guys tonight.
Chris Lofton.
He would take some shots, and this is every Bruce Pearl team since. They'll take some shots, and you say to yourself, how could a coach let that kid take that shot? That is crazy. But you know what he does? He says, I don't want you thinking to yourself, as I take this shot, if my coach doesn't like this shot, mm-hmm. he's going to put me on the bench, right? He's going to bench me for shot selection. I played for a coach that was very much on everybody's mind when they shot it. Is this a good shot? But Bruce Pearl's philosophy is, mm-hmm. if you're thinking that, that's going to affect your shot. Whereas exactly. if you're thinking confidence, I'm taking this shot, it's going to go in more often than not. And they shoot a very good percentage. Vanderbilt's got to hope that they're a little bit off. And then the other part of it, they're so long, mm-hmm. they've got to not get killed on the offensive glass, right? And then you got to have good offensive efficiency on your half, which is not an easy thing because Auburn's a great defensive team.
By the way, the line on this game, mm-hmm. Auburn minus 9.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Vanderbilt will be a bigger underdog tonight than they were against either Tennessee or Kentucky. That's how good Auburn is.
Yeah, Auburn I think a lot of times Auburn dictates what they're able to do, what they do. So if they want to speed it up, they can do that. If they want to slow it down, play with their long team, they can do that also. That's why I think it's going to be critical. Two things tonight is that McLaughlin and Carey, they don't get in foul trouble, especially not early. And then, as Tim talked about and I asked him, the guard play. They got to get good. Hogarth can't start off 0-11 again. He can't.
No, that's not.
Yeah, they won't have no chance.
That won't be
a
winning formula.
Yeah, they will have no chance at winning unless they're just playing superb defense. And Jason Edwards is putting up damn near. Is he on the pace to put up damn near 40? But Hogarth has to be an integral part of what they do, especially early on, because I think he does give you that ability, that toughness at that guard position
he's
that
strong.
You need. Exactly.
He's older. Like he's 24. Yeah. As Tim mentioned, Auburn's got a lot of 23, 24. They've even got a couple guys who are 25, which is ridiculous. I don't think
they should be going to that.
That's
ain't
another,
that a max contract
That's for
here?
Another show. That's for another show. But Hogarth is a big, strong kid who mm-hmm. can bully and get his own shot.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. When you go 0 for 10 or 0 for 11, like he was against Texas, like I put myself in those shoes, three things are going to happen. If I'm 0 for 10, I'm looking around going, how am I still in the game mm-hmm. at 0 for 10? Usually I'd be on the bench. Number two, mentally I'm thinking, I'm not hitting today. Mm-hmm. I'm either going to stop shooting, period, not have confidence to shoot, or if I shoot, I'm probably going to miss again. But he did a great job reeling it back in and making some big plays down the stretch. I'm hoping he comes into tonight's game confident because of the way he recovered from the 0 for 10.
Yeah, and so they're going to have to get some really good play. The crazy part about it is Jason Edwards shoots better at home, but he averages more in away games. Now, obviously, they play more, I think, home games than away games. I think they play 15. It's 15-8. I don't know which one. I think it's home 15-8 away, something like that.
And that's basically all league teams.
Yeah,
they're going to play more home games in the preseason, especially.
Exactly, because of the preseason. So they played 15 at home, 8 away. But he's going to have a good shooting night. I'm not saying he needs to shoot, 55, 60%, but it has to be close to that 50%. And it has to be close to 40 from the three-point line, because he's the one guy other than Hogarth that I think can break you down with the dribble and penetrate and get those bigs to collapse, and then he can pitch the ball out.
I think it's been different guys, different games, and that's the versatility mm-hmm. that they have. And it is based on, as we talked about with Tim, who has the better matchup on a given night and who's got the hot hand. And there's no doubt Vanderbilt – from the three-point line can be a little streaky, right? They will have to be able to knock down big outside shots to have a chance.
What do you think of Tyler Tanner?
Oh, I think he's going to be outstanding. But remember, he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
So he's probably 19. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's playing against guys that are 22, 23, 24. He might be matched up with this guy who's 25. Yeah, Auburn, it's Chad Baker Mazzara. He's from, I forget, maybe Dominican Republic or something. He's 25 years old.
Oh, man.
25.
He's Dominican, yes.
Yeah.
He should be at his max contract.
A six-year edge. What was Mark Byington's comedy? Because that's like when you're a teenager, you go down to the big boys on the at the playground or at the rec center, and they start just beating you up a little bit. Like, come on, young man, let's go, young blood, let's go.
That's Willie. That's Willie.
Now there's older, and then there's too old to do anything about it. But the other thing to watch for tonight, I think, the Bruce Pearl teams always been really good at, they will overplay and try to deny you the ball in bounds. You watch. When you run an out-of-bounds play, they'll try to not let you get the ball inbounds. Like, sometimes it's like, hey, you know, throw it in. Throw it in, just, and then we'll guard you, and we'll stop your play. They will overplay you. So can Vanderbilt come up with some plays where you maybe get a layup off of that? Or will they turn it over two or three times and start the break? These are important things.
Or will they have to use critical timeouts when they should?
Right. That's what it's designed to do. Bruce Pearl, he'll make you burn one that you don't want to take because you can't get the ball in. The other dynamic in the matchup is Vanderbilt is a good defensive team, but they're undersized. So how do they do it? They create turnovers. They strip the ball. They get steals. They can turn it into fast breaks. They need a few of those. The problem is Auburn, as much as they are green light, be loose, they really do a good job of not turning the ball over. That is going to be a huge stat to watch tonight. Can Auburn take care of the ball like they normally do, or do they turn it over a few more times than normal because Vanderbilt is good at creating turnovers? To me, that's a stat to watch.
615-737-1025. Again, Vanderbilt, Auburn, tonight, Memorial Gym, tip-off at 6, pregame at 5:30, right here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. Willie, if Vanderbilt wins, I expect to see you head and shoulders above the students on the court. That's all I'm saying. I know you'll be at the game.
I will be at the game.
I if they win, I want to see Willie Donick on the court attempting to tear down the rim.
You will not see me before the 60 seconds.
Yes,
so I will not be the person responsible for a fine. If it happens, I hope it happens. I'm envisioning it, but I will not be the person that runs out prematurely.
I'm trying to think of any way they can get the rim or either the backboard, the rim or the backboard. In the Cumberland, or better yet, in that little river thing over there across the street by the Parthenon, in there. I'm trying to think of a way. Can somebody bring like a drill? Like get a drill in and undrill
something
the screws?
Something tells me that won't pass through the metal detectors.
Dr. Candace Story Lee over there, if she's listening, she's going, Derek, please don't put it in their mind.
I want this.
These are expensive things.
Somebody's going to show up with a full
listen,
tool set.
I said it last time. And they won, okay?
I said last time,
and they beat
Alabama.
Speak
it into existence.
Exactly. So I'm speaking it into existence again. I'm sorry, Candace Lee. I really am. I ain't sorry enough that I helped pay for it, but I'm sorry.
615-737-1025. Before we go today, I have to do a little take shaming. I heard something yesterday. As I was driving home, I've got to talk about it. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stoneman and Company coming up next. Speaking of Jared, I do have to do a little take shaming before we go. So as I was driving home from picking up my son from school yesterday, Jared took a segment during his 2 o'clock hour to talk about how much he hated the Super Bowl halftime show.
What a shocker.
He said it was horrible. I believe he also said it was a disgrace that Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, what would be the disgrace?
I think it was because, in his mind, Kendrick Lamar is not popular enough to be the headliner of the Super Bowl halftime show.
Man.
And one of the points of his argument was, in order to be qualified to be the headliner of the Super Bowl halftime show, you have to be able to sell out a football stadium. So I sent to Jared Kendrick Lamar's tour itinerary this summer, which kicks off in April at a football stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis.
Where's the next one at after that?
Houston, Texas, and NRG Stadium.
And where's the next one after that?
AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys.
Is that a big stadium?
After that, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. after that. Bank of America Stadium.
So all of these are football stadiums.
After that, Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. After that, two nights at MetLife Stadium. After that, Gillette Stadium. After that, Lumen Field in Seattle. After that, three nights at SoFi Stadium. After that, State Farm Stadium, where the Cardinals play.
Well, somebody believe he can sell out the arena.
So I
stadiums.
Maybe
all these stadiums are overconfident.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Jared, his tour itinerary, and he mentioned it on the air, and he goes, "I bet they will do terribly." He's like, "Have them actually sell out the stadiums, and then we can talk." Basically, but let me.
No, but he's banking that you'll forget about it by
but
then.
But I won't,
and forget that he ever said anything.
And this is what I texted him, and he mentioned it. He mentioned this actually on the air as he was having this conversation, but I never got a response. Jared's girlfriend Lindsay, the mother of his beautiful baby boy Jackson Reese, works in the music industry. Jared, I want you to ask Lindsay this question: if she were advising an artist who said to her, "Lindsay, I want to tour football stadiums this summer. I am confident that I can sell out football stadiums." If she wasn't confident that that artist could sell out football stadiums, do you think she would advise said artist to tour football stadiums?
Nope.
No. So this idea that Kendrick, like, I'm not talking about the performance itself. I'm talking about the idea that Kendrick Lamar isn't popular enough to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show is asinine.
The man won,
asinine.
What, five Grammys?
Yeah, something like five Grammys.
He is the most popular right now. So, the Swifty fans or the Beehive, stay in y'all corners, okay? Stay in y'all corners. Don't come over here. Right now, as we sit, Kendrick Lamar is the most popular and recognizable artist in the U.S. right now, as we sit. One of those reasons, he just did the Super Bowl. So everybody, even if you didn't know about him before, you know about him now.
Also, he was in the Super Bowl when Snoop, Dr. Dre, and Eminem
were in
it.
3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, didn't he do I'm trying to remember this. I feel like it was the Georgia-Alabama national title game. Mm-hmm. Where Tua came off the bench mm-hmm. for Jalen Hurts. Didn't Kendrick Lamar perform at that? He did one of those games, too.
But the notion that he's not popular. Listen, Jerry, he may not be popular to you, or you may not like his music, and you have every right to.
But that's everybody with
exactly.
a lot of artists.
There's, but that doesn't mean he's not popular. Just because you don't think – you can name an artist to me, Jared, that I may not know and may not think is popular. To me, they're not popular, but that doesn't mean they're not popular to the masses.
Let's mention a couple of other places that Kendrick Lamar is performing this summer. Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders. Soldier Field, home of the Chicago Bears. Ford Field, home of the Detroit Lions. He's playing the Rogers Center in Toronto, where the Blue Jays play. That's a gigantic ballpark.
Now, if he's looking for people,
and he's also going to Europe. He's touring stadiums in Europe, soccer stadiums in Europe.
Listen, you can't. I think when he thinks about it, he thinks about Beyonce, Taylor Swift, people like that. People like that is in their own space. Like, they will sell out anything. Because that's their fan base. They can go to the most remote place, and for somehow, some way, they will find a way to sell it out. Because that's just them. So if you're trying to compare it to those two, then okay. He doesn't garner what they garner. But in his space right now, when you're talking about popularity, you don't just do the Super Bowl because you're all right, because a few people know about you. You're doing the Super Bowl because of what you've done that year is recognized by a lot of people, and they feel that they're going to get their money's worth when they put you on stage, and they got it. So I don't see how he may not like the music, or he may not have liked the performance, because if you looked into it, it was more than just music. If you watched the visuals and understood what was going on, and it took me, some hours to figure it out, but you would appreciate what he was saying and what was going on.
Yeah, and this is independent of the performance itself.
Exactly.
I am not talking about his performance. It's the fact that he was even there to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
And I just, all I'm saying, Jared, is the next time you have this conversation with Lindsay, who works in the music industry, you ask her if she would advise an artist who she doesn't think can sell out football stadiums to tour football stadiums. The answer is no, because they would hemorrhage money. So Kendrick Lamar, you may not have liked the performance. I remember I got into this with him a few years ago because he made a similar argument about The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you want to complain about the performance itself, mm-hmm. go right ahead. But The Weeknd was creating number one hit after number one hit after number one hit. He was everywhere. So if you want to complain about the performance, mm-hmm. that's fine. But to say that he didn't deserve to be there, I'm sorry that Justin Timberlake can't do the halftime show every single year.
Again,
I'm sorry.
Do you think that
again, what
after
Jared
this passionate argument that you guys
no,
you guys laid out a lot of facts and supported it? Mm-hmm. Do you think Jared would like, you know,
no.
No.
You know
no.
what? They made a good argument. I feel like you guys feel like I did after I'd made my case for why UC Soros doesn't stink, as he was saying, because his save percentage was 900. And, of course, he's still carrying that flag, right?
I mean, he's going to carry it until he can't carry it no more.
Again, understanding who you're going to listen to, the people that lay out facts, numbers to support an argument, or just somebody who shoots from the hip with really nothing other than hot air.
But what was his basis on why he didn't think Kendrick Lamar deserved to do a halftime show?
If I recall correctly.
And why he's not that popular.
Because he was in the target age. He's in the target age demographic for the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl halftime show, and it didn't appeal to him, I think, is why.
Again, he can. Okay, that's him. But he can't make that a blanket statement. It's him.
Oh, man. That's all I'm saying, Jared. Just in the quiet moment when little Jackson Reese is taking a nap, just ask Lindsay that question. If you were advising a music artist who wants to tour football stadiums, and you didn't think that artist could sell out football stadiums, would she advise them to do that? I guarantee you the answer is no. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Jared is coming up next right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie, do you want to give the fine folks an anchor down before we leave?
I'll be there. What's your message to Vanderbilt fans, Derek, for a big game?
A big game like this, be your butt in your seats, all right? Be there now. I know it's raining. Get you a towel, get you a poncho, get something. Be at those doors, because when they open, boy, that's when it's going to start. Bring the noise. Bring some anchors with you, too. Oh yeah, bring a drill, too, because we're going to take that we're gonna take that rim off that backboard, okay? Candace Lee. I am totally sorry. I'm sorry.
Well said, Derek. Memorial magic. That's what we're looking
for.
There we
go.
That'll do it for us. Jared's coming up next.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, wonderful Tuesday. Stay dry. Peace.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.